All right. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Lisa Braithwaite, your favorite public speaking coach and trainer. I'm certain of it. And I'm here today with Dr. Manette Riordan, who is joining me on our Audience Avenger Alliance speaker series. And she is going to be talking about some really super cool stuff. So hello and welcome, Manette.
Thank you for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
Yay! And so far we have had no technical difficulties. So we're gonna stay positive and we're just gonna go with it. But I will give a little bit of housekeeping. If anyone is on the line right now and I'm not seeing you, I'm gonna go ahead and give this housekeeping information, or if you're not seeing me, or if you're confused about anything that's happening on the call, this will help. I am going to be muting the line during the call so that we don't have any noise disturbances in the background. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to use the Q&A box on the Instant Teleseminar page or the chat feature. And if you're just calling in on the phone, then hang on till the end and I'll open the phone line for questions. And I had this problem yesterday on someone else's teleseminar where I couldn't see the chat box or the Q&A box. So I'm also leaving my Facebook page. Well, my Facebook page is always open, but my Facebook page is open for questions and comments, and I'll be checking it. So that's facebook.com/CoachLisaB. So if anybody is not seeing those question boxes, it happens sometimes. You can go comment on my Facebook page, and I'll just keep an eye over there. Also, sometimes you get booted out of the chat, but if that happens, just refresh your browser and you'll get back in. And then the most important thing, if I cut out or you can't hear me for some reason or something starts going wacky with my audio, feel free to post in the Q&A box or the chat or on my Facebook page and say, hey, I can't hear you, or in one of those three places I should be able to see it, because I'm on Skype and sometimes things go weird on Skype. Sometimes I get kicked off the line, but Manette will be here and she'll keep you entertained with perhaps a song if I get kicked off the line.
Maybe you don't want to hear me sing.
An instrument and start playing. So
I can recite poetry in Spanish. How about that?
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. So let me make sure the line is muted. I'm going to do that right now. And, okay, the line is officially muted, and that way we won't get any background noise. Oh, but I accidentally muted Manette, but now Manette is unmuted. Oh, brother. Okay. So Manette is going to be discussing four distinct personality styles, and I know if you got the emails about this program, you saw that she's going to be talking about bulldozers and border collies, among other things. I have this feeling I'm going to go right into the bulldozer camp, but that just sounds a lot like me already. But so we'll see. And so she's going to help you do also a quick assessment of your own style. And then she's going to also talk about how to style shift to effectively boost your credibility with your audiences. And because what she's going to be talking about is how all the people in your audience have different styles, right? So you have your own style. Your audience has their styles. And she's going to talk about how to include specific elements in your talks that will get your audience's attention and keep it. And we all want to know how to do that, right? That's something that is really a key issue for speakers, is grabbing your audience's attention and then keeping it. We know we lose them every couple minutes. They drift off again. We have to bring them back. And this is a constant struggle for speakers to keep the audience from being too distracted by all the other things going on in the world and in their own heads. So let me tell you a little bit about Manette. She is an entrepreneur. She's a business coach. She's an author and a speaker. She is the co-author of the book From Fizzle to Sizzle, Four Crucial Tools for Relationship Repair. That is a little bit of a tongue twister. And her book was published in 2012. So, you know, you should know this, that Manette is on top of being an awesome business coach, she is also a relationship coach. So this is something you might want to know about in case maybe you don't need a lot of help with your business, but you need some relationship help. This is also Minette's specialty. And she's also kind of a serial entrepreneur because before she started business coaching, she actually had a multimedia publishing company in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And she started out with a small quarterly newspaper, and she grew that to a monthly magazine with a circulation of 50,000 copies per month. So Minette knows a thing or two about building a successful business, which is another reason I invited her, not just because she's my friend and she's super cute and funny and smart, but she's actually
I'm feeling very loved.
Oh, you are. But, you know, she actually has a lot of really great experience in business and can help you grow your business as well. So she was in the publishing industry for 7 years. And then she sold that business and moved to Santa Barbara, which is where I met her. And we're both now together in the Association for Women in Communication. But whereas I show up once in a blue moon, Minette is the incoming president of Association for Women in Communication. So she's clearly an overachiever on top of everything else. So
I'm a happy volunteer. We'll put it that way.
Yes. And here's another thing that I love about Minette. She also coaches people on creativity. And so, and it, you know, business coach, relationship coach, creativity coach, you name it. And so she's an artist at heart. And another thing that I love about Minette, she loves wine. And so we are fellow wine connoisseurs. And so that's a little bit about Minette personally. And we will get into the nitty-gritty now about the stuff that Minette is going to teach you today to help you build your trust and your credibility with your audience. All right? We all ready to go? All ready to jump in?
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay. Well, everyone else is muted, so they can't tell me if they're ready. So, Minette, you know, you're one of the things you want to talk to us today about how to build credibility, you know, build that relationship with your audience and especially build credibility. So will you talk a little bit about credibility and how would you define credibility? I personally think this is one of the most important things that speakers need to cultivate. Because if you don't have credibility, people aren't going to listen to you. It doesn't matter how great your message is if people aren't going to listen to you because they don't feel that you have credibility. So would you define credibility for us and talk about why it matters for speakers?
You know, interestingly, the tricky part, Lisa, about credibility is that it – you don't get to say, I have credibility. It would be great
right.
if we could just stand up and say, hey, I'm the expert, listen to me. The challenge is that credibility resides in the minds of our audience and what they know about us, what they see about us. And so really, for me, credibility in just a brief nutshell is the know, like, and trust factor. So
yeah.
As speakers, it's our job to get the audience to know, like, and trust us as quickly as possible. And that can be accomplished in a variety of ways, beginning with your intro. And before the call, Lisa and I were talking, and I'm going to have to, you know, talk to her further about this, about, you know, writing a really fun intro for yourself. And that can set the stage for credibility. Your photograph in the program or flyers or brochures or whatever they're using to promote an event can easily connote credibility. And, you know, the photo that Lisa used of me of the in the turquoise, if you saw that, I had a local photographer who I just adore take those headshots. And I was so appreciative of her because she asked me ahead of time, what is it that you want your headshots to convey? And for me personally, it was approachability. I want to be seen as very approachable, that it's really, you know, I'm enthusiastic, I'm engaged, and I'm here ready to listen. And she actually had another client or a prospect come to her recently and said, I want headshots and I want them to look like Minette's, right? Not anybody I knew, just like that woman in turquoise, you know? And so your photo can go a long way towards establishing credibility as well. And I want to just be really clear, and Lisa, I'll ask your opinion on this as well, that credibility is not a laundry list of all the different things that you've accomplished in your life. I have bazillions. I have lots of degrees. I went to school a long time. I have a PhD in poetry, in Spanish poetry. I love school. I have lots of certifications. You know, I'm not saying that to brag, you know, but honestly, a PhD in 20th century Latin American poetry isn't super related to what it is that I'm doing currently, although I still love poetry and could read to you some Pablo Neruda poems in Spanish, but I won't. But, you know, it's understanding what aspects of your experience will most effectively communicate your level of expertise. And oftentimes the best way to communicate your expertise is in testimonials from other people.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's kind of frustrating because it's, you know, nothing we really can say or do is going to, you know, make us the expert. It's really how other people perceive us. So Lisa, I'll be quiet and, you know, I'd love for you to jump in.
Oh my goodness, that was all so good. And just so those of you who are listening, if you hear typing, I'm taking notes on what Minette is saying, and it's just faster for me to type. So if you're wondering, I'm not, you know, tweeting or, well, I could be tweeting, actually. I should be tweeting all the great
sure,
stuff.
You could be tweeting.
But it's a little too much for me to actually listen and interview and also tweet at the same time. But hey, if anybody's on here and you want to tweet all the great things that Minette is saying, she's her handle on Twitter is at Minette R. So it's MINETTER. And I'm Lisa Braithwaite. So you could tweet all about the stuff that we're talking about right now. And by the way, I want to welcome our listener who is here from the farthest away, and he must be staying up, well, a little bit late for business, but I want to say hi to Richard from Prague. We have somebody on our call from Prague today, so that's pretty cool. And I'm guessing
pretty cool. Hi, Richard.
About 10 or 11 o'clock for him, so he's kind of hardcore about, you know, doing some business learning. So welcome. And okay, so back to what Minette had to say. I love this, that it's not a laundry list. And at some point I want to figure out what actually a laundry list is. But besides actually knowing what a laundry list is, we use it to mean this long list of maybe unrelated things. I love what Minette said about it, your credibility not being a laundry list of things that, you know, your degrees and your achievements. And, you know, I have to say, though, when I hear that you have a PhD in 20th century Latin American poetry, there is something about that that does give credibility to you as a person who spent a lot of time disciplining yourself and learning and researching and following your passion. I look at something like that, and I still think something like that, even if it's not directly related to what you're teaching, I do think that gives a person credibility because it makes me think, well, this is a person who's able to really, who loves learning, who is willing to go to, you know, the ends of the earth to research stuff, because we know you have to do that when you get a PhD, and that you've spent a lot of time really, really teaching yourself about something that you find really interesting and fascinating. And that, to me, does give a person credibility. Just maybe
Thank
not
you.
In
yeah,
the
I,
exact
Yeah, I appreciate
field, but,
that, yeah. Yeah.
But I,
so,
you know, I think that about people, you know, that it demonstrates something about their character, I guess is what I'm trying
right.
to say.
Yes, and that is a great aspect of a credibility that I think often gets overlooked. And, okay, just because I told you there were going to be some silly moments on this call, I had to look up what a laundry list is. And
yep.
So it does mean a long or exhaustive list of people or things. But originally it was a list of articles of clothing that had been sent to be laundered. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, isn't that funny? How exactly did laundry list come to mean what it means now? I this is a total aside, but I am
this
really
is a total
fascinated
aside.
With language. You know, as a speaker,
yes.
I've always been fascinated with language, and I hate to say things, even if they're even if they're expressions or idioms that we all use every day, I still want to know what they mean and where they came from. Now, I'm happy to go on saying laundry list, but now I know why we say it. So there, now we see all the great things we're already learning on this call.
And you're so right. I am just still a nut for research and also, a huge word lover, and often tend to do the same thing as I just did now and look up the meaning or history. And it's something that we've really engaged our kids with as well. If they don't know, the brilliance of Google's, we can go find it out. And that can also go a long way to increasing credibility, is when you add in some of those fun snippets when you're doing a presentation. So I think a lot of times, especially if we're new to creating presentations, we can either go too far off tangent and it's, we're totally distracted and there's no method to our madness and the audience is lost. Or we can be so strict that it gets really boring. So there's a beautiful place in the middle where you have the opportunity to add some fun, interactive elements that I think make us all human, Lisa. And a big part for me of the credibility factor is I want people just to see me as human. So, I love poetry. I love making art. I love the introduction you did. I mean, business, creativity, and relationships, what the heck do they have to do with each other? Everything. But that's a story for another day. But, it's that making sure that we're effectively communicating our personality along with our technical knowledge and expertise is a lot about credibility, and which is why I think the core temperament piece is so fun and such a brilliant addition to this conversation around credibility, because we can quickly learn some tips and tricks that can help us understand how to appeal to audiences in a lot more quickly by making sure we're communicating in four different ways, right? So that we're capturing everybody in the audience, and so we're not losing people. Because, there's nothing like standing on a stage and asking crickets and having to be the clown and trying to, get people engaged, right? Again, because lost them for whatever reason.
Yeah, exactly. And I, just to reiterate what you said about effectively communicating our personality, one of the things that I do talk to people about is that if they take the stage with this kind of mindset of, I have to pretend to be some really important, impressive person, and it's not okay with them to embrace and show all the parts of themselves that are human, that does affect your credibility, because again, you come across as insincere, or you come across as somebody who, your audience may not be able to put a finger on it. They may not be able to outright look at you and say, man, that person's a big phony. But something feels off when you're not being authentic. Something feels off. And then even more so when somebody is not the same person on stage as they are off stage. And then people really go, wow. And then, you find people saying, well, I didn't connect with that speaker at all. That speaker didn't resonate with me at all. So I just to reiterate what you've been saying, we're talking about your credibility is created by other people, right? It's, as you say, it's how other people perceive us. It's testimonials, and it's as you say, understanding what aspects of your experience will communicate your expertise. So now I do want to get into core temperament in a minute, but I want to ask you to just talk a little bit more about what are some other ways you can increase your credibility in your speaking? So we've talked about effectively communicating your personality. How else would you say you could increase your credibility in speaking?
I would say the other most important way to increase credibility is to make sure you know who the audience is that you're speaking to. A lot of speakers, especially if you're speaking to grow your business and you're out doing a lot of free presentations and just trying to spread the word, you may just be saying, oh, sure, I'll speak, or you're trying to gain more experience.
Right.
And you're not doing your research ahead of time to understand who your audience is. I'll share a funny personal story about how this impacted me at one point. So and I'm trying to remember what the topic of the presentation was. So I got invited. This is when I was living in Texas. I did a ton of public speaking when I was in Texas on different aspects related to media, marketing, sales, and some just fun, creative lifestyle stuff, right? My typical audience was either small business owners or parents, and I had topics. Are you hearing me? Lisa?
What just happened here?
Can you hear me? I'm hearing you.
The moderator has left the conference.
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes. See, this is what I got booted out. And you were just about to tell your story. You said, I have a funny story about this.
Yes.
And then
you went, uh-oh.
Yeah, and then all I heard was static, and then I went away. And so I'm sorry, and whoever is on the call may have heard your story, but do you mind repeating it for me?
I did not share the story because I heard you say, uh-oh, and then I realized that you couldn't hear me. So, you know,
good, because I wasn't sure if you could hear me.
Yeah, I could hear you fine. Yeah, so our apologies to anybody listening to the recording.
Gotta
love technology. And I swear, you know, internet and phones in Santa Barbara can just be a chore sometimes, you know?
Yeah,
so,
true. Well, thank you for your patience and anyone else who,
no problem.
You know, lost the call for a minute. Thank you for your patience. And we're back. Okay, good. I'm dying to hear the story about not researching your audience.
Yeah, so I was in Dallas, and I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what the exact topic of the talk was, but something to do with work-life balance. So I was sharing with people before or when you got dropped that I did a lot of, you know, small business media marketing stuff and a lot of kind of parenting lifestyle stuff as well because I owned a parenting magazine. And I got invited to talk to a group of women accountants. And they were all part of an association, and they got together once a month with a speaker and food and all that kind of stuff. So me and numbers, you know, not the best of friends for sure. And they invited me to kind of give this, you know, creative work-life balance talk. It was one of the hardest presentations that I had ever given. You know, here I am thinking it's going to be this awesome room full of delightful, engaging women. And they were very lovely women. They were not engaging. They were accountants. They were kind of shy. They were very introverted. They were, I'm a very interactive speaker, lots of audience participation, lots of questions, showing of hands. And there was, out of 40 women, maybe one or two that was really comfortable participating. If, you know, I had been better at assessing that ahead of time and understanding, you know, who the women were that I was speaking to, I knew they were accountants, but I would have tweaked my talk to have it be a little bit different, maybe some writing activities and much less interactivity and a little more focused, targeted, more bullet points, PowerPoint, you know, things that accountants, and this will make even more sense when we talk about core temperament in a minute, but I would have done things a little bit differently. So that was one funny story. And then I got invited at one point to speak to a Rotary Club. I love speaking to Rotary. They're always amazing groups of people. And I had this fun talk I gave, I don't know, bunches of times called How to Build a Better Business Card. And once you get in the Rotary circuit, you get invited to go talk to all of them. It's a great way to get speaking experience if you're just starting out, is to go get in a Rotary circuit, especially in larger communities. I mean, even here in Santa Barbara, which isn't very big, there's, you know, like a dozen different Rotary clubs. And so I got invited to give this talk on how to build a better business card to this big Rotary group. I mean, it's a room full of 50 or 60 people. 80% of the people were retired and didn't have business cards. And I'm like, why did you, some Rotaries are much more networking and business focused, but not all of them. And I thought, you know, I have lots of topics, and, you know, they had a list of my topics. I'm like, why did you pick this one? You know, so in that case, it was an interesting choice that they made, knowing who their own audience was, because it was hard to predict. Rotary is very eclectic. You know, it was hard for me to predict. And they loved the topic. They had a blast. But, you know, part of the talk is everybody gets their business card out and looks at it. And, you know, we do a little quick analysis of their business cards. And it was hysterical because they're like, I don't have a business card. I never carry business cards. And it was very humorous, you know. It was very funny. But again, it's all about, you know, it's an easy to kill your credibility if you're not clear about who you're speaking to. So,
right.
You know, understanding who you are, being authentic is huge. And then finally, I would say, make sure you know who you're speaking to and who the audience is. And you can, there's some great ways, and this may be part of what you teach, Lisa, but there's some great ways to gauge that ahead of time, making sure you're asking the event organizer who's going to be there, not just how many people. And in some cases, especially for a larger audience, if you're doing a keynote or an important training, which I know Lisa does a lot of that stuff all over the country, you know, sending a questionnaire to participants ahead of time if you want them to be interactive or you need to know what they're struggling with. So your preparedness goes a long way towards quickly increasing that know, like, and trust factor.
Exactly. And I do teach that. That is exactly one of the things I teach, that if you have the ability to get a questionnaire to the people who are going to be in your audience, you know, if you're invited by an association or a company where they actually have contact information of the people who are coming and can get it to them in advance, which is not always possible when you're speaking at, say, a conference where people don't even have to sign up for your session in advance. They just come. But the more you can find out about your audience in advance, the better, right? And that's a great story that you shared. I think a lot of us have, the more you speak, you'll discover this, but a lot of us have had that experience where we thought we knew what was going on, and then we got there and the audience was totally different, or we just had prepared for something different. And, it doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel great. Well, Minette, why don't you tell us about core temperament, since we've started talking about it, but we haven't gotten into it yet. Give us the nutshell version of core temperament.
So I love talking about core temperament, and I have been talking about teaching and using a core temperament assessment since 2006. And I am an assessment junkie. I will share that personal tip about me, because I think they're fascinating, and you always learn something new about yourself, or you get affirmation that who you thought you were, it really is who you are, and there's a lot of different ones out there. There's Myers-Briggs and DISC are probably two of the most famous. There's 360-degree assessments are really popular right now. So core temperament is kind of a newish movement under the umbrella of personality assessments. Core temperament is distinct from personality. I'm going to give you just a brief intro to kind of some of the science behind it so you'll know where I'm coming from, and then I promise we'll dive into the fun, silly part about being bulldozers or border collies. So core temperament is probably like the 20 to 30% of your personality that never changes across time. It's really pretty fascinating. And if you're listening to this call and you have kiddos, or if you remember yourself from when you were a child, there's certain aspects of your personality that by the time you're 3 or 4 are just set. So usually it has to do with the way that you interact and react to time, tasks, people, and stress, interestingly. Each temperament has a unique response to stress, which I find particularly
fascinating. Can you say those 4 things again?
Sure. So it's how we respond to time,
tasks.
People, and stress.
And stress, because I am taking notes, as I said. Good, thank you.
Thank you. You are very welcome. Yeah, please feel free to interrupt me, slow me down. It's a lot of information, so I'll try not to go too quickly. So when you think about who you are at your core, a lot of us tend to have a public face than a private face. We may be able to tap into, and none of us are black and white. We're usually a blend of at least
right.
two, sometimes three or four of the temperaments. And sometimes, you know, we can tap into some of our strengths, especially as presenters, that, you know, and I don't want to go into a big discussion of introverted and extroverted, but from this perspective, those of you who would rather usually be sitting in the audience and not giving the presentation, but know you need to be up there giving the presentation, you can step up there and do that, and then you have to go home and recuperate. You're just like, wow, wiped out. And then others of us will get up there on stage and have a blast and be completely energized by the experience and feel like we could do it all day long, every day, and be happy. So, you know, knowing these things about yourself is really important. And mm-hmm. the other thing about core temperament that's unique is that it really focuses on, again, those core interactions and doesn't necessarily take into account. So the difference between core temperament and personality is personality does take into account other things that happen to you in your life, traumas you've experienced, what culture you grew up in, what kind of spiritual tradition you grew up in, what kind of successes you've experienced, who your parents were, where you went to school. All those things can influence who you are as an adult. But underneath personality, we can always come back to core temperament. And once mm-hmm. we know what our core temperament is, it helps us understand why we get our buttons pushed by other people. It helps us understand how we can deal with stress and relieve stress. It's actually one of the chapters in my book, From Fizzle to Sizzle, is all about core temperament, specifically as it impacts relationships. It's an incredible sales tool. Those of you that are speaking to grow your business and are business owners, when you understand core temperament and can understand how to what I call style shift, which is speak to somebody according to their temperament, then it makes it a lot easier to close the sale. And I'll give some more specific examples of that in a few minutes. But in a nutshell, core temperament, 20 to 30% of your personality that doesn't change across time.
That is super fascinating.
Yeah, I'd be happy to send you the assessment. It's really fun to take.
Yeah, that is really fascinating. And so tell us a little bit more about, because we've been talking about credibility before, how does knowing our core temperament help us increase our credibility?
So let me give you a quick snapshot of what each of the four core temperaments are, and then I'll answer that question. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah.
So being the fun, creative, silly person I am, I got really tired of sort of the boring scientific names of core temperament. And so that's why in my particular assessment, which actually my co-author on my book, who is an incredible researcher, she created the assessment. And we have named the four temperaments bulldozer, mm-hmm. border collie, detective, and ringmaster.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. So Lisa, guaranteed you might think you're a bulldozer, but you have a lot of ringmaster in you as well.
Ooh.
The part of you that loves public speaking, that's super creative. So I'm going to give you a snapshot of each of the four of those.
Great.
Which should help
Great.
You start to self-identify. And Lisa, if it's okay with you, I'd be happy to send you a copy of the assessment and the descriptions of the four temperaments, and you could just send it out to everybody. There's no cost
oh, great.
Involved. It's just really fun to know and a fun tool.
That sounds fun. Yeah, I'll definitely send that to everybody who is who signed up for this call, for sure.
Perfect. Perfect. So the bulldozer, Donald Trump, right? Driven, mm-hmm. achievement-oriented, self-assured, Michael Jordan, win, 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 win. Even though he's incredibly personal, he's also very driven to succeed. So I mm-hmm. think of our bulldozers as our leaders. What do bulldozers do? They clear the way. Their challenge is they're not always very people-oriented. They tend to be more focused on tasks than on people,
mm-hmm.
and they forget there's people following behind them. So they're not great at nurturing or taking care of their teams. If they're leaders, you know, Donald Trump is a great example, the Top Chef guy, you know, people who are drivers and they're just, you know, really focused on getting things done, on
right.
results. They can be pretty insensitive. They can be very domineering. They can be pretty lonely because, you know, they forget that people matter and that they need to nurture those relationships. So that's,
mm-hmm.
in a nutshell, a bulldozer.
Okay.
Interestingly,
great.
Bulldozers aren't usually the ones we're going to see being motivational or inspirational speakers, right? They might run a meeting, right? But they're going to struggle with getting up there, and they can tend to be pretty boring, right, in their presentation, because they're very facts, no stories, no details. So if you have bulldozer, you're going to have to stretch to make your presentation more interesting and add a little life to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the border collie, so those of you who are familiar with dog breeds, I love the border collie. And not only is she absolutely a beautiful dog, she has a very particular job as a dog. She's a herder, and she's a nurturer. And border collies are both incredibly loyal and incredibly stubborn. If you've ever been around one or owned one yourself, they're, you know, a very particular breed that's very recognizable. So I picked the border collie because this sort of interpersonal, harmony-loving core temperament really relates to this idea of the border collie. A great visual example would be a preschool teacher who spends all day herding children. She's not really teaching at that point. She's just sort of, you know, leading from behind. So opposite of that bulldozer who's clearing the way, she's the one who's pulling up the rear end, making sure everybody's safe, everybody's well taken care of, right? They're warm and supportive. Their highest values are peace and harmony. They're incredibly nurturing. They're very consistent. So as a speaker, if this is your sort of nurturing, loving, you know, tendency, your challenge might be being a little too relaxed and laid back, worrying too much about the audience, and not being willing to step up and be entertaining and engaging. You're so focused on others, you're not standing in your own strengths enough. Okay? Does that make sense?
Interesting, yeah.
So then the detective is a very cognitive, numbers-focused, analytical, diplomatic, orderly. They're worker bees, engineers, accountants, financial planners, people who love structure, order, systems, and spreadsheets, right? They're great at getting things done, but they're the ones that are getting things done on the back end. So they're the ones following right behind the bulldozer, making sure that all the pieces are in place. So from a speaker perspective, detectives can be painful to listen to because they want to give you every single detail, fact, figure, number. Their PowerPoint slides are so full of information you couldn't possibly read them from the back of the room. So their challenge is to, again, be engaging, to tell personal stories, and not rely on facts and figures to tell the story for them. I remember going to PTA programs at my kids' elementary school, and, you know, we'd all be there, stuck there for the PTA meeting because our kids were going to sing. And so all the parents are sitting there, and the treasurer would get up there and, like, line item by line item go through the entire budget and read all these numbers. I mean, talk about snore.
Right.
And, you know, she had to do it, right? It was part of the bylaws of PTA. And so it was very, you know, I think it was just as painful for her as it was for the rest of us. And it wasn't something that she could, she probably could have tried a little harder to make it a little more engaging and silly. But, you know, when you're a detective, it's not your personality. It's not your talent. She was a great treasurer. She was not a great public speaker. So if you have tendencies towards loving details, facts, figures, numbers, my advice to you is to put it in a handout for people to read later. Don't put it into your presentation. That's one of the tips I'm going to share later about what your audience wants from you. Those detectives in the audience, they love the details and the facts and figures, but they're going to bore everybody else to tears. So give them supporting documentation, but don't feel like it has to be part of your presentation.
Great. That is
and
great
then finally,
advice.
Yeah, finally the ringmaster. You know, the ringmaster is our intuitive, creative, verbal, inspiring, enthusiastic, gregarious. They're alpha moms. They're the influencers, the Kardashians. You know, they're the ones who are out really making waves. They're all about adventure and travel and freedom and being the life of the party. Their challenge is they can get very disorganized. They can be very flaky. And as presenters, they're not always good at following structure, right? So they may have created an outline or had an assistant make an outline for them and an awesome PowerPoint. You know, they paid a graphic designer all this money to build this beautiful PowerPoint, and they never even look at the slides. That would be a pretty typical, you know, ringmaster who's kind of out of balance. So ringmasters, Zig Ziglar would be a beautiful example of a classic ringmaster when he was on stage in balance, because, you know, there was always a point, even though he could be long-winded and tell some pretty circuitous stories, you know, at the end of the day, you know, his job really was to influence and to motivate people, and he did it incredibly successfully for such a long, amazing career. So great example of a ringmaster would be Zig Ziglar. Another one would be Oprah, has a lot of ringmaster tendencies, because she, and so for me, in her public face, she is both a border collie and a ringmaster. Very comfortable, confident in the public eye, but yet incredibly nurturing. So she pulls those talents together in a beautiful package. And then behind the scenes, there's this brilliant businesswoman, right? So she definitely has some bulldozer going on behind the scenes to lead the, the international large company that she does. Plus, she's brilliant at hiring great teams around her to support her. So that's a little bit about just snapshot of the temperaments and, you know, what they look like and what it, how that might translate into you as a speaker. So questions about that?
That is just fascinating. And I already know, okay, so I do believe that bulldozer is still me, but I do see part bulldozer, part ringmaster. That's I think that's me. But I'll take the assessment and find out.
And find out. Yeah, and, you know, it's a fun party trick. You know, I've been using this for so long that usually within 5 or 10 minutes of meeting somebody, I can pretty quickly ask a few questions and assess their personality. I said, oh, are you like this, this, and this, you know? And so it can be a lot of fun to use and know this information. And so I don't know how much you guys follow Lisa, but some of the ways that you can tell from the outside looking in that Lisa is a ringmaster is how fun everything she puts out there is. Her the Alliance, the Avenger Alliance, right? The your superhero
Audience
graphic.
Alliance.
Thank you, Audience Avenger Alliance. I was trying to get all three of those words in there. The superhero graphic. Ringmaster, right? I mean, it's fun. It shows her character. When you meet Lisa in person, she's incredibly engaging. Right? She loves clothes. She loves food and wine. I mean, there's, you know, she just has this very generous, effusive personality. So if you can't tell that from her calls, then you're missing out because it's a big part of her personality. So that's why I would personally say Lisa is a ringmaster. It takes also that bulldozer to build a successful business behind the scenes and make all of these things happen, right? All the different pieces happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, sometimes it's easy to be that public ringmaster, and then you go home, and then that bulldozer really kicks in, right?
Yeah, and I think, too, I also get the sense that perfectionists fall under the bulldozer category.
You know, actually, perfectionists fall under the detective category.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bulldozers are they're just trying to get to the finish line. They don't really care how they get there.
Oh, I see. Yeah, good point. Because I also have those perfectionist tendencies and have very, very high expectations and standards for other people.
That's definitely the detective. So, and you're also, you have great attention to detail, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so
about the only thing that doesn't fit me here is border collie. I'm not really much of a nurturer, you know. I'm not one of those kind of warm, supportive, harmony, loving kind of people.
But knowing
knowing
that, if you were giving a seminar, a training seminar on how to be a better presenter to a room full of educators, right, who were trying to become better teachers in the classroom, that room is going to be full of nurturers. Right? So you learn how to soften and you learn how to share examples that are pertinent to them. So that's where it all starts to come together in a super fun way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you made a good point, too, that people tend to be a blend of these these temperaments. This is one of the issues I have about, this thing, this sort of obsession now with people calling themselves introverts. Ever since, the concept of introversion has been discovered, now everybody wants to label themselves. And, people, I'm an introvert, as though there really were only two kinds of people in the world. And, I'm an introvert. I'm actually an introvert, which is very hard for people to understand, but I am. And I think the worst thing about doing personality assessments is the tendency to label yourself and then say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that because I'm this. And I find I have clients who come to me and they say, well, I'm an introvert, which is why I can't or don't do this, this, and this when I'm speaking. And I'm like, well, guess what? I'm going to get you out of that comfort zone, So what would you say about that, about people using these kinds of assessments as an excuse to avoid things in their lives or as an excuse to say, well, I can't do this or I'm not that kind of person or whatever, and to avoid things or sort of make excuses for things?
So I would tell them to stop playing the victim. Get out of their, same thing you would, get out of their comfort zone. So the
poor
thing to understand.
Number five, victim.
Yeah, exactly. And, just to really take it with a grain of salt, I always take them as, really see them as fun, informational.
Yeah.
They're not concrete. They're not black and white, and they're not perfect. Any kind of, research based on, survey questions like this has huge margins for error. It could be our mood the day that we take it.
Right.
The trick for any kind of assessment like this is to really look at it across your lifetime, not just as who you are right now, but how have you always been. So that's one thing. But I, honestly, the one of the reasons the first time I got certified in using the a personality assessment was a company in Canada called CRG, the Personality Style Indicator, which is really fabulous. And I so appreciated their perspective on being either an introvert or extrovert. So they saw someone that was an introvert as someone who was cautious when it came to stepping out or interacting with their environment, right? Not shy, not retiring, not wrong or bad or all the other, things that get attached to the word introvert. And an extrovert as someone who's just a bigger risk taker and, oftentimes, they leap without looking. That's not always a great thing, right? Both the bulldozer and the ringmaster can leap without looking, charge ahead, whereas the border collie and the detective are going to stand back and watch a little bit before taking action. So it's a different perspective that I really appreciated. I can be very extroverted for periods of time, and then I just want to go home and be quiet. Right? I want to go home and be in my craft room making my art, So, but knowing that, right, I can step into that ringmaster role, clearly listening to me, I'm very much a ringmaster, but I'm also very much a border collie. I think it's one of the reasons that I'm good at being a coach. As a business owner, when I own my publishing company, man, did I discover that I was a bulldozer. Who knew? I hate meetings. Can I just say, quit wasting my time? There's nothing that frustrates me more than a poorly run meeting with too much information and nobody running the show. So you asked, you were saying, so I'm now actually officially the president of AWC, and it's like, okay, we're going to run these board meetings and we're going to be done in an hour. Why are we here an hour and a half? What a waste of time. And it's not because I don't like people. I love people. I love their stories, but I also am busy and I have a lot of respect for my own and other people's time.
Right. Well, this I was checking in on the chat on the Q&A, and I see a comment by Richard, and I think this really ties into what I was going to ask you next. What I want to ask you is, what tips do you have to help speakers create better presentations based on this idea of core temperament? And what Richard is saying, he commented that sometimes your audience is almost all bulldozers or almost all border collies, et cetera. And this has happened to me. I think you know about the fast pitch program that I was part of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we brought in people from, we brought in leaders from local nonprofits to create 3-minute pitches to make an ask to an audience of community members and to be judged. And it was a competition. And then they would, you know, win prizes. And the coaches that we recruited for this, so I was the lead coach and I did all the training, but we brought in business leaders from the community to coach individually and help these nonprofit leaders develop their pitches. Well, I will tell you, that room was full of bulldozers. And we talked, the other people who were running this program, we talked about this frequently, that we had a room full of people who wanted to run the show. We had a room full of people who all wanted their opinions to be heard, and they all wanted to be, you know, and it was funny. And we would talk about that. We would say, man, we would say either these are, you know, high achievers or a bunch of type A personalities or whatever, you know, all these other things that you call these people. But ultimately, you know, we would get together on a regular basis for these large group coaching sessions. And it took us a while to figure out how to work with this room full of bulldozers. Because it, and the interesting thing is, so all the coaches, 40 people in the room are bulldozers, but the 20 people who were the nonprofit leaders were more like border collies. So you've got all the coaches who are bulldozers, and you've got all the speakers who are being trained who are all border collies. And so you're trying to sort of, you know, run this program where you just know that, you know, a third of the people are coming from a completely different place than the other two-thirds of the people. So anyway, I'm glad that Richard brought this up because, you know, I've experienced this personally, having to sort of really adapt my style to large numbers of, you know, one kind of core temperament in the room. So share for us how, you know, how we can ultimately create better presentations based on core temperament.
Great question. And I'm going to go quickly again in the interest of time.
I want to make sure that we can, you know, tell people where to find you on the web and that they know how to get your special gift. So those are the last two things that we have to do after you tell us about how to make a better presentation.
So the most important thing, and we've already mentioned this, and I'm just going to reiterate it because I don't think that we can say it enough, and I'm sure it's something that Lisa also really hammers into her clients, is to know your audience ahead of time. So if you're giving talks to groups of CEOs or business leaders, you are going to have a room that has a lot of bulldozers and probably a lot of detectives, which are actually pretty opposite in their personality. So if you were speaking to a room that was almost exclusively bulldozers, here's what you need to know. You need to not be too personal. You need to not tell lots of stories. You need to give them summarized facts. And Lisa, when I send out the assessment, I'll send a little summary of this as well so people aren't scrambling to try to write all this down in 2 minutes.
Right.
I already have it typed out and can quickly send it over to send with people. They really want you to respect their judgment, so they will appreciate interaction where they have the opportunity to share their expertise. And so part of building credibility with bulldozers is reciprocating by also acknowledging their level of expertise as well.
Right.
And they don't like to deal with details, and they don't like you to waste their time. So the most important thing to know with bulldozers is that you have to stick to the time. You know, there's sometimes you get asked to go give a presentation, maybe at a networking luncheon, that you might only get 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes to talk. Be really respectful and don't run over on time, or you will so quickly lose credibility with your bulldozers. For your border collies, you have to make them feel like they belong. It's pretty much, you know, the polar opposite. You need to tell the personal stories. You need the pretty pictures and the illustrations. And, you know, whereas our detectives and our bulldozers like facts, figures, graphics, you know, is supporting information, comic strips, right? Cute kitten pictures, right? The, you know, the silly other cartoon strips can be great. But mostly they want you to feel like they are welcome in your sort of ambiance and that they're invited to participate. You know, the thing that's interesting about the Border Collie is they're smart. They often will know the answer if you're asking a question, but the ringmasters and the bulldozers are so fast to raise their hands. They're never
exactly.
going to be the first one to raise their hands. So
we
don't
be afraid.
We had
a terrible problem with that, I remember.
Yeah.
A terrible problem with one person in particular who we could not get to stop being the first one to always make a comment and raise his hand.
Yeah, and
yeah.
sometimes you do just have to, you know, pull them aside. You know, for me
exactly.
personally, Lisa, one of the things about being a successful, especially in trainings, not so much like doing keynotes or motivational presentations,
yeah.
but in any kind of training or educational presentation, you got to tap into that bulldozer and not be afraid to cut people off and just
yeah,
say,
yeah.
you know, that's really interesting. I'd love to hear more after my presentation. In the interest of time, we need to move on, but I hear what you're saying and I would love to talk to you more. So, you know, being willing to cut people off is a, you know, pretty
yeah.
important tool for presenters. So Border Collies, touchy-feely, make them feel good, invite them to participate. You know, really show them that you trust them and they will reciprocate. They also want you to be authentic, to be vulnerable,
right.
and to be personable. It's, you know, this
right.
is like the used car salesman. You know, they're not going to buy a car from you if they don't like you. Border Collies
yeah.
have to know, like, and trust you.
Right.
So our detectives, they're the ones you got to have that folder with all the supporting information that'll blow everybody
yeah.
to tears. You know, so they love graphs, details, spreadsheets. They're going to be the ones that drive you crazy, especially if you're a bulldozer or a ringmaster, asking very detail-oriented questions, testing your level of knowledge and expertise.
Yeah.
And again, you may need to say, I'd love to talk to you at length about that. Please come up and see me after my presentation. I don't have time to go into all the details right now. So, you know, making sure that people felt seen and heard is crucial to any particular temperament, any
right.
audience. And then, you know, making yourself available after. But detectives, the more details, the better. So don't be afraid to give lots of handouts and supporting documentation or offer
right.
to share the PowerPoint with them is another great thing to do. So they love to have and they're also very, verbal learners. So, you know, they like having access to the written
mm-hmm.
information.
Okay.
It's really important to them. Bulldozers
Good.
Won't care. They'll throw it away. Border
yeah.
collies will take it because they're being nice, but they won't read it either. And ringmasters will never even look at it, but they'll draw lots of pictures all over your handout. So, you know, knowing the temperament. So ringmasters are the hardest audience to speak to because they have a real tendency towards attention deficit. They have they want to be engaged and they want to participate. They want to stand up and share a story. That's like when you have people come to the microphone to ask questions at a presentation
right.
and they don't have a question. They just want to tell their story. That's
right.
a total ringmaster. So they can really disrupt, interrupt, and derail a presenter if you're not prepared to deal with them. So what ringmasters want is the opportunity to speak. They want you to admire their achievements, and they definitely like the bulldozer, not too many facts and figures, colorful,
right.
creative, fun, and they want your energy to match theirs. So, you know, this is where, especially if you're a detective or a border collie, that you have to tap into your inner sense of fun, silliness, and enthusiasm so that you're engaging and alive on the stage. Otherwise, you'll really lose your ringmasters.
Wow. That's good. That was all extremely helpful, and I like how you have it kind of all spelled out. And it's the top of the hour now, so I just want to, you know, a quick note to people who have to leave. If you're on the call and you have to leave, you will get. I will send out to you a follow-up email with Minette's her free gift that she's going to talk about in a second, and her assessment. So you'll get all these things. Don't worry about it. And you'll also get a link to the recording if you need to listen again, if you had to leave earlier, you came late or something like that. And so I will send all this out later if you have to go now. But anybody who wants to stick around, Minette is going to tell us about her free gift. and where people can find you on the web.
Awesome. So I'm pretty easy to find. In fact, I had somebody recently, Lisa, you know, you're doing a lot of social media stuff, right? Like I know you do too. When people say, wow, you're easy to find on the internet. So I guess that's a good thing. But my website is just my name, MinetteRiordan.com, MinetteRiord, as in dog, A-N, MinetteRiordan.com. And I have a brand new program, Lisa, that I'm super excited. This is the first time I'm actually rolling it out. It's called Discover Your Inner Marketing Genius. And it's all about really honing in. It actually uses a different assessment. I have two different ones that I use with all of my private clients. This one's about your relationship with money and how your mindset around money is impacting your marketing. And then how to tap into the aspects of marketing that you're naturally really great at and use those as a way to market your business, and then to make sure you're finding either collaborators or outsourcing the parts that are important but that you're not so great at doing yourself. So it's called Discover Your Inner Marketing Genius. You can go to MinetteRiordan.com/inner-marketing-genius and sign up. And the details are all on the next page. It's a couple of audios, too. I still have one more audio to record. It might end up being three audios because I have a fun bonus activity I'm including, but it's an audio, a sacred money archetype assessment, and a PDF handout with a bunch of worksheets so that you can really get serious about growing your business to the next level by understanding what's holding you back. Sometimes I think it's like the whole introvert-extrovert thing. You know, we think we're not good at marketing, but you know, we just have to find the different tactics that are a match for who we are. So core temperaments at the center of everything. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Wow, I can't wait. I can't wait to see all of these things that you are very generously sharing with our listeners. And I'm going to go download it all right away.
Cool.
Because I don't know if that's the ringmaster thing or what, but I love to collect as much information as – oh, no, that's a detective, right? I'm a detective. I like
you know,
to
and I don't know if you've ever done that. Have you ever done the StrengthsFinder assessment? That's a fun one, too.
I didn't, but, yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, so one of my my number one – strength, I don't know if it's a strength or a weakness sometimes, is input. And like number two is learner. So I am such a junkie all those three reports. And, you know, but because I'm a ringmaster and I like being out in the world, they collect dust bunnies in my, you know, download folder.
Inside of your computer,
Yes, they do. So,
you have been fabulous today. I'm so glad you came and shared your expertise. I learned a ton, and it just reinforced things that I've already experienced with audiences that didn't really know how to put a finger on it or necessarily, you know, what it signified. And I think this was good. This really kind of clarified a lot for me about, and I will clarify more when I do the assessment about, you know, my core temperament. And I like how you said that about, you know, these are, it's not a diagnosis. It's not, you know, this scientific fact that you are now this person and, you know, that it's good or bad or anything like that. Probably the more of these assessments you do, the better, because you can sort of start blending everything together and not label yourself one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I want to thank you again for coming. I want to thank the people who are on the line live on the phone and on the web, and because we've gone a little over, I want to respect everybody's time and not take questions today, but you can always feel free to contact me, reply to the emails, go to my Facebook page. You can also find Minette on Facebook, and I will send out all that information to you so that you can find us and get Minette's great resources as well. So, Minette, if you'll stick around for a second, I'm going to end the call, and I'm going to stop the recording, and then I'll talk to you in a sec, okay?
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for coming.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key.